I wanted to focus today for our sermon time, especially on verse 26 there of John chapter 14, where as Jesus is foretelling the fact that he was about to leave his disciples. He had risen from the dead, he had been spending great amounts of time with them, but the time has come that he would return to the Heavenly Father through the glorious ascension of the Lord. And that time was coming very, very close and very near. We have this beautifully depicted in our stained glass windows. Above us, behind me, above the altar, is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. But as you leave this morning, you'll see the second prominent window, the largest window in our sanctuary, is the window immediately behind you, which depicts the ascension of our Lord, the time when he would be taken away. And this is a very, very incredible moment in the Lord's life. But I wanted to focus especially on verse 26 of John 14, where in the midst of him telling the disciples that he would leave, he said this, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And so I wanted to speak to us for a few minutes about how the Holy Spirit helps us to remember. Have you ever noticed that fashion sort of goes in cycles? You know, what was in at one point goes out of fashion, and then all of a sudden it comes back in style again. It's quite interesting. For a while there, I don't know, you know, a number of years ago, it seemed like we were living in the 60s again. I began to notice everyone, young people, teenagers in particular, were wearing bell-bottom pants, tie-dyed t-shirts. Hairstyle was long and straight. It seemed as if the 60s had come back once again. I was reading this week and happened to glance at an article that said that now the fashion of the 80s is coming back. Now that piqued my attention because that hits close to home. That's kind of when I went to high school. I was a product of the 80s, and many of you are as well. So I had to go back, I had to read this article to see what that meant. So apparently the way that we dressed back in the 80s is coming back this year. And this is what the article said, things that were going to be coming back. Now, if it's not true, don't blame me, because I'm a pastor, not a fashion guy. But this is what an article said. Topping the list of things that are going to be popular this year are animal prints. Remember the old leopard skin things that we used to wear in the 80s? Half shirts. In the 80s, everybody wore half shirts. Shoulder pads. You remember that? Remember Princess Diana? Her shoulders looked like Mike Ditka, you know? I mean, you had these shoulder pads. Denim jackets and denim skirts together. I know denim on denim isn't supposed to be the thing, but now it's coming back. Parachute pants. I had a pair of them, I'm ashamed to say. I hope there's no photos of them. Peg leg pants. Remember we used to take our jeans and sort of roll and tuck the ankles so it looked like they had elastic around the ankles. Fanny packs, leg warmers, high tops, and, Sarah, you tell me if this is right or not, big hair. Big hair. Well, that's what the list said. I was thankful for the absence of one thing that was popular in the 80s, and that was the mullet. Apparently the mullet is not coming back. Thank God. I had one of those. Do you remember? Business in the front, party in the back. That was the mullet. And apparently that is not coming back. Well, it's amazing. It's amazing how old things can become new and fresh again. It was Marie Antoinette, the queen, during the French Revolution that said, "There is nothing new except what is forgotten." There is nothing new except what is forgotten. It is human nature to forget and then rediscover. And Jesus knew the minds and the memories of his own disciples, and he knew that their minds were something like a sieve. They had, unfortunately, an inability to retain what he taught them. And we see that they had something of, you might call, spiritual amnesia. They could never remember what it was that he said until he would say it again and make it new, bring it back. For example, Jesus had clearly declared on more than one occasion that his kingdom was not political. He did not come into this world to set up a new government or a new political force, but rather his kingdom was spiritual, it was heavenly, and that it consisted not in the taking over of earthly governments, but rather in the forgiveness of sins, the receiving of sinners into grace, and the giving of his own life as the sinner's ransom. And yet, they forgot that. And at the ascension of the Lord, we find the disciples in Acts chapter 1 were still asking him. This is after the resurrection. They were still asking him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They forgot. Another instance is the fact that there was no one more surprised when Jesus rose from the dead than his own disciples. They were so surprised that they had a hard time believing it, some of them. And that is despite the fact that he had predicted on numerous occasions that he would rise from the dead. On the third day, he even told them which day he would rise. 3 days after. And yet, they forgot. They had spiritual amnesia. And so do we sometimes. So do we. We forget important spiritual truths. And so one of the great fears when Jesus ascended into heaven is if he's gone, he's not here to teach us and remind us of what we're supposed to know and remember, who's going to do that for us? And that is where the blessing of our sermon text today comes in. Thankfully, Jesus had a remedy for the apostles' forgetfulness. He would send, he said, he promised, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would come into the life of his church, of his people, and he would bring with him life and power and spiritual fire, but also the ability to remember what Jesus said and what he taught. He would take what was old and bring it to mind again, bring it back into fashion, as it were, once again. And the effect on the apostles, as you well know, was nothing less than earth-shattering. As the apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit, not only do they remember everything that Jesus said, and they finally get it right, but then it is so perfect and accurate that they're able to write the pages of Holy Scripture, to write the Bible without error in its original language, and to then take that message all across the world and touch the lives of the ancient world and turn it upside down. All because the Holy Spirit was given after Jesus' ascension. It would be the Holy Spirit who would correct things that were forgotten or misconceived. He would teach them, he would guide them, he would enlighten them, and he would energize them. And he would as well be that one that would breathe on them the breath of God to record the deeds of our Lord and all of Holy Scripture with accuracy. That is such an important part of the Christian life. To have the Holy Spirit with us, in us, and among us is so important to us that we cannot underestimate his presence and his power. I wonder, how is your memory, your spiritual memory? Well, I guess I could ask you, how is your memory in general? And some of you would say, I'm not sure, I forget how my memory is, I don't know. Have you ever been that one that you start in one room, you get to the next room, and by the time you get to the next room, you say, now why did I come here? What was this for? And you go back to the other room and you forget. We struggle with physical memory, but we also struggle, like the apostles, with spiritual memory also. Remembering the things that are important, remembering the things that God has said, what he has promised, and what he has commanded. Sometimes many of us struggle with that. Remembering God's word, remembering what has been said. Now, think of in your life, if you've been going to church for a long time especially, think of all the sermons you've heard in your life. Pastor Gatos, think of all the sermons we've given in our life. Think of all the Bible lessons that you've heard here on church or on television or on the radio. Think of all the daily bread, our daily bread devotions that we have read or other devotion books that you have used. I wonder if I asked you honestly, how many of those sermons, lessons, devotions would you be able to repeat word for word today? Anyone? Really? No. Wow, that's humbling. But I would be the same way. We forget. We like what we hear. We like what's been said. We're touched by Bible teachings, by sermons, by lessons, by devotions. We're touched, but we don't remember very well, do we? That's humbling for us pastors because, you know, you run into your parishioners the week after and sometimes they'll remind us, I don't remember a single thing that you said last week. And that happens. That can happen. I like the story of the pastor who was at the back door greeting and he thought his sermon was quite good that day. And in fact, someone complimented his sermon and said, that was a very nice sermon, Pastor. And he said, oh, I just give thanks to God. Because he's the one that gives it to me. And the parishioner said, well, it wasn't that good. Well, sometimes we think the sermons are better than they are. But most of us forget. And that includes pastors too. We don't always remember the things that we've heard. But here's the good news. Thankfully, there's more to the Christian life than just our memory. We don't have to remember it all. It doesn't all have to stay lodged up there. Even when we have forgotten things that are important, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to bring to our mind scriptures or truths or lessons that we've learned from the past at just the right time when we need it. That's what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit would come and remind you of everything that I've said. Divine truths that apply to what I'm going through at that moment. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, takes old truths and he brings them to mind and makes them new again. He brings them back into fashion as we look at what we're facing. He takes the things that we've heard or learned in the past and he shines a new light on them or relates them to our current experience. Other times he leads us to new truth that we've never learned before, but he gives it to us sort of on the job or in the trenches when we need it most. And that is one of the great promises of the ascension. Because Jesus said, don't be upset that I'm going away. Don't be upset that I'm going back into heaven. Because it almost feels like Jesus is leaving us alone. As if he's leaving us to fend for ourselves spiritually. And the good news to all of us today is that nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus has not left us alone, for he sent to us the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, he will help us, and he will remind us, and he will teach us exactly what we need to know when we need it on the spot. The Holy Spirit could be thought of like the ultimate Google, if you might think of it that way. He knows everything. I mean, you know, how are you reliant on Google as I am? I mean, where should we go to eat? Google. Where is such and such? Google. I mean, we Google everything. And because Google knows everything. And whenever we need to know something on the spot, we can just Google it and we have it there. And the Holy Spirit is something like that. He remembers everything. He knows everything. And he makes his vast knowledge available to any of us who would seek it. He's there to guide us, to fill us, to shine the light of the Lord upon us and from within us. And so we have a great, great resource in the Holy Spirit. Well, that's all fine and well, but what's our part? What do we have to do? Well, our part, of course, is taking the time to listen to him, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to ask him for help and guidance, to seek him, to allow him to guide us. For example, when we're making a tough decision, or we need guidance, or we need encouragement, we can ask the Holy Spirit to lead us to the words of Scripture that we need. Ask him to do that. Lord, remind me of what your word says. Bring to my mind, bring to my heart, Holy Spirit, what I need to know in this situation, something that will help me, something that will guide me. And he will do that. He'll be faithful to do that. He will come and shine his light on the word and bring the word to bear on your circumstance. But then when he does that, we have to listen. We have to listen to what the Spirit is showing us and teaching us through Scripture. Here's a key distinction that is important for all of us, whether you've been reading the Bible for just a short time or you're a long-term disciple, Bible reader. And here's the distinction. Don't just read the Bible. We don't just read the Bible. We read the newspaper. We read Life magazine. We don't read the Bible. We listen to the Bible. There's a difference between those two things. When you read the Bible, don't just read it as if it's talking to Joe Schmo down the road or to Moses who lived 2,500 years ago. No, read the Bible as if it is speaking to you today. Because you know what? It is. The Bible says of itself that it is living and active. The Bible is not a dead, irrelevant, ancient artifact that it needs to be housed in a museum. The Bible is a living and active force. It is God's holy word, and it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you will start listening to the Bible and not just reading the Bible, I can promise you, you are going to hear things and learn things and see things you've never thought before. And you're going to feel built up in your faith and be stronger as a Christian. And as we listen, we can expect to hear the Holy Spirit teaching us and reminding us of everything that we need to know in that circumstance. And so we can give thanks today that Jesus said this, gave us this promise, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. May God help us to listen to the Holy Spirit, to listen to his holy word, and remember everything that God wants to say and has said to us. May he do that for us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.